Running a learning business today requires attention to growing reach, generating revenue, and demonstrating real impact, all while navigating constant change and fierce competition for learners' time and money.
To help, we've curated a collection of free resources for learning business professionals. You'll find frameworks, briefings, and reports, webinars, and tools focused on strategy, portfolio design, pricing, marketing, and more, all created specifically for organizations that sell continuing education and professional development.
If you care about building a stronger, more sustainable learning business, visit leadinglearning.com/free resources.
That's leadinglearning.com/free resources for practical tools and strategic insight to help you grow your reach, revenue, and impact.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 81 of the Leading Learning Podcast. In this episode, we're joined by Stephanie Owen. Stephanie is the Director of Education with the National Wood Flooring Association, or NWFA, where she has led that organization's efforts in implementing digital credentials, certainly a hot topic right now across the lifelong learning landscape. Before we get to that interview, though, we want to take a moment to thank Castle, our sponsor, for the second quarter of 2017. Castle is an accomplished full-services certification and licensure testing company that also offers its clients a variety of learning solutions capabilities. With an expert team of testing and instructional design professionals and a 30-year history of excellence in its field, Castle understands what it takes to develop and deliver quality learning and certification programs. To find out more about Castle's custom learning solutions, go to leadinglearning.com/castle. We also want to note that recordings from our recent Learning Technology Design, or LTD, virtual conference are available. We created LTD specifically for professionals in the business of continuing education and professional development, and you can get access to all of the great content delivered at the live online event by going to ltd.leadinglearning.com.
For this episode's resource, we want to highlight our complimentary Association Learning Plus Technology Report. This report is based on a survey of a broad range of trade and professional associations, and it provides the most comprehensive insights currently available on the use of technology to enhance and enable education in the association sector. And you can get access to that for free by going to tagoras.com/learntech.
And of course, we cover a lot of ground in that report. We look at learning and technology quite broadly, but one specific area we touch on is the use of micro-credentials like digital badges. And I believe that was really the big focus of your conversation with Stephanie Owen.
Absolutely. We talk a lot about what they're doing with digital badges at NWFA. We also talk about how they rolled out those digital badges along with NWFA University and sort of talk about the driving factors behind it, what they've learned so far in terms of the rollout and implementation. And I think Stephanie and NWFA are at a really exciting point right now to talk and share what they've learned because you know they have a lot of the planning and the decision-making behind them, but they're kind of, and they've gotten the initial rollout out there, but they're still definitely in that sort of learning moment of, you know, what can we do to continue to promote the adoption of these badges. So it was a great conversation, and I think there'll be a lot that folks who are maybe interested in getting into digital badges will find of use in the conversation.
Well, and we've known Stephanie for a while. She's a very dedicated learning professional, somebody who takes it extremely seriously. And we've highlighted some things that NWFA has done before, particularly with the use of social proof. And we'll be sure to link to that in the show notes. But they're always interesting. Stephanie's always interesting. So really looking forward to hearing this interview. So without further ado, let's roll it.
Hello out there, I'm Salisa Steele, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast, and today I'm joined by Stephanie Owen. Stephanie is the Director of Education with the National Wood Flooring Association in St. Louis, Missouri, and she's been responsible for developing and implementing NWFA University and NWFA's use of digital credentials. So Stephanie, thanks first and foremost for taking time for the Leading Learning Podcast.
My pleasure.
And now, since I only offered a pretty brief introduction and overview, would you start off by saying a little bit more about the National Wood Flooring Association and your role there?
Sure. NWFA is a trade organization or association that represents the entire supply chain for the wood flooring industry. It includes manufacturers, distributors, retailers, contractors, inspectors, and really much more. Our mission for the association is to promote the uses of wood and then also to provide members with education and training. My role here in inception when I started was to develop the online university, and that launched in July of 2016 very successfully. And since my role is kind of even just in terms of managing the university, but it's also developed into kind of a strategic role to address the labor shortage and to promote wood flooring as a viable career path. So it's been fun, and looking forward to seeing where this new direction takes us.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot is happening there. So as you mentioned, the NWFA University kicked off in July of 2016. And I'm interested, before we kind of dig in more around digital badges, which I'm really interested in, but my understanding is that you kind of coupled that rollout of digital badges with sort of a restructuring of your education and certification, which was part of that launch of NWFA University. And so could you talk a little bit about what sparked the idea for that restructuring in the first place, and then what that restructuring has looked like, what changes you have made?
Sure. Upon arrival here, we had a certification program that had been in existence for probably 20 plus years. And it was structured to award certification by years of attendance, attending a hands-on school, and completing an online test. We also had what was labeled a degree program that awarded credits for continuing education as well as service to the industry. So after kind of doing some research and learning more about the industry and in particular our association as a whole, I felt the approach with certification and degrees really muddied the waters between education and service. Mm. We also thought that we were doing a great job of educating our own, but we didn't have any efforts to attract any new learners. Trade organizations kind of, in terms of us as well, have a kind of a unique driver for certification that driver tends to be the consumer. If the consumer is aware of our certification programs and demand them on the job, the need for certifications increases, thus kind of attracting that newer learner and newer generation. So this is kind of where the entire restructuring kind of came to a head. We had to do a better job of attracting new learners to create a clear an attractive path for those learnings and to drive consumer awareness that demanded that certification. So restructuring kind of started with the introduction of the university, then changing career paths and kind of how the university kind of flew into the career paths, as well as using digital badges. So those kind of all came together as we started to see where the needs are to restructure.
And am I right in understanding that part of kind of that restructuring too is like sort of is breaking apart these longer certifications into more incremental steps that they can, in terms of like digital badges that they can use to demonstrate a specific skill even before they've achieved a fuller blown certification?
Yeah. So again, traditionally the requirements have been just the years of experience attending one hands-on school, which was typically a five-day school, and then they had to take like a 75-point question, multiple-choice question, and they were certified. So with the restructuring and the introducing of the badges, we broke down those certifications into actually 12 micro-credentials so they could earn them as they kind of go. And what uniquely happened organically, really, in that process is that we were actually able to reach a new member segment. So the certification traditionally, historically for NWFA has really been kind of siloed to contractors, and that's kind of been our bread and butter. Hey, we certify installation, we certify stain and finish. But with the onset of the badges, what we've seen is that, say we have wood product knowledge in there, that actually is can be applicable to all of our member types. So manufacturers, a distributor, mm-hmm. they all need to know kind of about the wood product knowledge. So it's really opened kind of penetrated all of our member segments in terms of education that we really, again, organically didn't realize that that was going to happen initially. So, yeah, we kind of long answer is that we broke that down and then really were able to see kind of that education sprout.
Yeah, that's great to see that there were new applications. And like you said, that it just happened relatively organically without a lot of extra effort.
Right.
And I think tied to that question of kind of maybe extra effort or not, I mean, talk a little bit about whether or not you had to develop new education for the rollout of NWFA University, or if you mostly just were able to kind of repurpose and restructure what you already had versus, you know, how much new stuff you created.
Yeah, so we began with just kind of sitting and sitting in our 5-day schools and saying, okay, what can we use that we can, you know, restructure and put into an online university? We were able to use a lot of that content that we presented in a live format. Obviously, we can't do the hands-on pieces, but we could still provide those in a video format or, you know, in a pictures, step-by-step directions. But so, yes, we used our existing education, but we had to, what we kind of noticed when we did that is that we kind of had a consistency and a structure issue in our own schools. Building these out and kind of going from point A to point B through these, you know, using Storyline and some of these other formats to build these online courses, we noticed that maybe one particular segment said one thing and another didn't really match our guidelines. So we really had to do some rewriting and restructuring so that the flow made sense in an online portion in a school. And you know, it like in a live school, you know, you tend to take rabbit trails when a student may ask a question,
right.
And you kind of go this way or go that way. Obviously we can't do that with online. So we really had to restructure and kind of think about how that happened. But, using our existing content was really a great start for us to kind of, give us a platform to jump off on. And obviously we had to fill a lot of holes as we went.
Well, great. It sounds like great that you were able to reuse a lot, but that as part of that restructuring and repurposing, you were able to improve it and find some of those gaps and fill it in and raise the quality overall, which is another great side benefit of moving to the university. And so, you know, I know it can be easy to misuse terms, but if I'm understanding right, that the digital badges that you're now offering, that you're kind of using them both as micro-credentials, you know, so that you're using them to recognize these building block elements of the fuller-blown certifications, and you're also using the digital badges as a new way to represent those fuller-blown certifications as a whole. So first I'll just double check, is that correct, that you're kind of using the badges for sort of smaller things and sort of the larger certification as well?
Yes, absolutely, right on.
And so then these are basically stackable credentials where people could sort of earn the building block, sort of the little domain-specific areas, and then that could stack up to the fuller-blown credential?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. And so at this point, though, where are you in allowing people to get to that fuller blown credential? Is that already possible, or you're sort of still in the process of rolling out those sort of underlying blocks that make up the fuller certification?
So we have 4 certification designations, and we've launched 2 full designations where you can build through the micro credentials and lead up to the full blown certification. We're almost finished with our 3rd, and then we'll focus on our last certification path. So, kind of how that we've also turned the certification into a badge itself. So digitally, those can be shared, you know, via their social media and things like that. Which really, from an installer's perspective, that's really kind of what they want to tout. However, as I mentioned before, we've really been able to kind of use the micro credentials to kind of market the other segments. When you think about it, as a consumer, that maybe I'm looking for a specific type of layout on my floor, may it be a herringbone layout, and if the contractor or the or even a sales representative is using that digital badge to to show that they are competent in that skill, whether they're being selling it or they're able to install it. As a consumer, I can say, oh yeah, they're also a certified installer, but they really know about that herringbone laid out. So maybe I'm going to use that guy because he knows a little bit more about that than this other guy does. So that's kind of why we did the micro-credentials, and how we broke it down is we really did it, kind of geared it and modeled it so that it was really a skill set versus just kind of knowledge. And I think we've done a really good job at branding that piece of it too, so that they can kind of use it. They can use it by itself, or they can use it within that full package as a marketing tool.
Well, and I think related to that, I mean, are you worried, or were you worried at any point about, you know, kind of confusion over what the badges signify? You know, if you have some badges that signify sort of these smaller chunks of expertise, like that herringbone floor, versus, you know, some badges that represent the fuller blown certifications. Were you at all worried about that?
Yeah, maybe initially, but as I mentioned, I think we've done a pretty good job of branding the badges to complement certification. And it represents just a small piece of the learning. And I can use another example. For example, there's an individual badge that might represent the job site preparation, but that badge itself doesn't indicate proficiency in installation as a whole. It just indicates proficiency in one's skill. So from the contractor's perspective, I don't think there's any confusion that we've created there. The consumer, I still think we're doing a lot of work on our end to educate the consumer that these even exist, and that certification is, you know, something that they want to demand in their home. But in terms of us in the marketplace, no, I don't think we've created any confusion. In fact, I think we've maybe strengthened the certification and what it means. Because they have to go to the university and kind of build on these credentials, they kind of feel like, okay, I really can do this job site prep, or I can check this and I really feel competent in this, or I can go back to that knowledge and I can show it to my consumer on the job site and say, okay, this is what I learned. This is why I'm telling you this. These NWFA has certified me in this area, and this is why. So I think it's really kind of strengthened it versus caused confusion.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that you probably didn't have experience, you know, rolling out a digital badge offering before you were at NWFA. So how did you go about learning, you know, what you need to know in order to, you know, design and develop and roll out the digital badges that NWFA is offering?
Yeah, and you're right on. This whole process was totally green to me. So I attended a lot of webinars, you know, read white papers, studied other organizational models, particularly kind of tried to stick to the association model versus just the education model, because those are kind of two different, two different organizational models that kind of, they go different directions. One you're kind of selling and one you're kind of earning in a different way. I think the most helpful kind of through that process was sitting down, whether it be a phone call or at a Tagore's event or somewhere else, just kind of sitting down with, whether it be the technology provider or an organization, and kind of just asking questions about their experiences, kind of the good, bad, and ugly. What did they, you know, what was good about it, what was rough, and what would they never do again? What would they learn from? So just, I think that's really kind of how we did it. And again, we kind of have a unique market in how we did things. So obviously I learned from others, but we really had to tweak it based on our model.
Well, right. And so, you know, you just talked about having conversations with other organizations, especially associations that were, working with digital badges, talking to technology providers too. So how did you go through the process of finding the right technology partner for your digital badges? You know, what issues and what criteria wound up being deciding factors for you in picking a partner?
For us, we had to start with kind of our strategic goals or restructuring and how this new path would impact our existing path, and how, were we going to integate it with something that had already existed, or were we going to start with something new? Because we did kind of a grandfathering concept where we grandfathered our current certifications at a level with the new path, we knew that we were going to be automatically issuing thousands of badges upon day one of implementation. That was before anybody could earn through the new way.
Right.
So we knew we had, one, we had a large number of users, and two, we had a large number of badges that we wanted to issue. So those two elements really played a large piece in it. Technology providers typically will either provide a cost per user or a cost per badge issued. So weighing those two options in terms of us being having to issue to 1,000 people at about 3,000 badges right off the bat was kind of probably the biggest deciding factor on what provider we went with.
Gotcha.
We also kind of thought about, okay, what do we want in the future? How do we want these badges to be integrated with current systems that we're using, whether it be our AMS or Association Management System, our LMS, or consumer site, which is where kind of our badges are displayed from a marketing perspective for our those that have earned them. So how do we want that future model to look? While we may not have the dollars to invest in it now, it's definitely something that's on our roadmap. So that was another kind of piece to the puzzle, too, that we wanted somebody that was capable of doing that, as well as kind of had an easy API to work with. Those kind of those deciding factors and talked through with different providers. Tagoras has provided a couple of different people that we looked at, as well as kind of doing our own research. It's kind of like LMS is like there's a ton of them out there. So you really had to hone in, okay, what is your strategic goals with it? And then align that with what the technology provider, provides.
Yeah, no, that certainly makes sense to start at that strategic level and work from there. So, you know, if an organization is considering digital badges, but they really haven't dug in and gotten started in any meaningful way yet, you know, where or how would you recommend that they begin that process?
I would start with kind of evaluating their current offerings and ask, would digital credentials provide value to our members within those current existing structures or without? And if so, how? The value proposition is really important, and that's something we've learned as we've gone, is that you really have to hone in on that value proposition for your members to kind of buy into it. And I think that's kind of the biggest question you have to, and don't just do it just to do it because it's kind of a trend, but how are your members going to respond to that, and how does that fit into your current offerings? And I think the next would be kind of really, again, does it start with, do you integrate it with something that's already existing and kind of restructure your learning, or do you just start fresh with something new? And digital credentials don't have to go with certifications. There's a lot of different uses for them. That's just kind of how we've chose to use them. And once those two things are kind of decided, I think you can move forward with a vendor research that kind of aligns with those two goals and how you're going to use it and what's the value proposition in those.
Well, great. Thanks for that advice. And, you know, you said when you were talking to folks as you were getting started, you wanted the good, the bad, the ugly. So I'll ask now, if you had the chance, you know, to do over, what, you know, up to the point where you are now, you know, is there anything you'd do differently in terms of the design or the development or the rollout of digital badges at NWFA?
For us, it's been, the rollout has kind of been a challenge. We rolled out the university, and that's been extremely successful. But we could have done a much better job with rolling out the digital badge portion of this whole new learning. We proved the statement to be true: you can't teach an old dog new tricks in our industry. And we have a lot of boomers that have had their certification and have held it for a long time, and they're really struggling to see the value. And that's kind of where I said value proposition is really important, because for us, we really have to show them the importance and to drive in the value of these and how they can use it in their market, to market themselves as a professional to the consumer, you know, those kind of things. So that has been really key in terms of how we've done it. We're working on courses, videos, articles, and other marketing strategies to kind of drive that home. But if we would have done that on the front end, we would probably see a larger success rate right off the bat.
Okay. So
rather than doing it kind of proactively. Yeah.
Right. And so, right. So trying to really make sure that your audience understands the value. And it sounds like in your case, you at least had some portion of your audience who probably needed more support than you initially gave. So you're doing some backfilling there. But
yeah, those that are engaged see value and they understand the impact it can make on their individual businesses and growing that, as well as the impact it can have on the industry, because digital credentials are the key to those are sharing those, sharing those on social media, sharing those on their LinkedIn profiles, using them on the websites, using them on their email signatures. That's where the value really truly comes in for not only themselves, but for the industry as a whole, because it creates this awareness of who NWFA is and the demand for certification. So when they see that and the light bulb clicks, it's there, but we have to do a better job of educating the masses versus just that small segment that says, yay, we're on board. There's still a lot of them that say, I don't understand. We're working on that.
Gotcha. But, well, you know, so far we've been really focused on digital badges and NWFA University, but let's widen the scope for a bit. And I just would like to ask, what's going on in learning these days that most excites you? And I'm going to leave it open. This could be something, that might have application or potential application at your organization, or it could just be something in general that excites you as an individual lifelong learner.
Sure. As I mentioned in the introduction, my role has developed into kind of advocating for the wood flooring career path as a whole. In education, especially in trade organizations, we're seeing kind of this misconception about trade labor and jobs and careers. Parents and schools are pushing students to four-year universities where kids are kind of falling through the cracks every day. They're graduating with significant debt and no career options, or they're dropping out and just kind of sitting and figuring out what's next for me. Skilled labor organizations and associations really have to do a better job of advocating for their specific industry and advocating at all different levels, not just the high school counselors or the students, but also their parents. And the world as a whole has to do a better job of how they portray those blue-collar workers. And we, as an organization at NWFA, is working on just those kind of things. We're developing a career path that includes educating parents and children about our industry, just basics as early as first grade, and then partnering with a number of different organizations to create more touch points and exposure as they move through their elementary, middle school, and high school careers.
Well, that sounds really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the part that really gets me pumped up. Like, we're working on with the Federal Department of Labor to create an apprenticeship program specifically for the wood flooring industry. There's a lot of things out there that are for carpentry and things like that, but there's nothing that's really tailored to our industry. So we're working on that. We're really in the final stages of that, and I think what we're seeing as a whole from federal to state is we're starting to see light bulbs come on and people are starting to see that our kids are falling through the cracks and we have a real problem with four universities and as a whole, everybody's saying that's where you have to go. But we have to filter that down to our schools and to our guidance counselor's office and to our parents, especially as parents. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard my husband, who's a blue collar guy, say, you don't want to do what I do, son. You want to go to a four university. But the skilled trade labor can be a very viable and lucrative career option, and we have to do a better job of communicating that to our parents and our school systems and even the kids. Like, they're just not aware either. So that's the part. That's what things that we're doing here at NWFA, and what gets me really excited is digital badging. It plays a really big key in that too, and in the university, because it exposes us to a new generation of learning. So it kind of gives them a little segue to get into the industry and minor exposure, and then they can say, oh yeah, that looks really cool. I want to do that. So
well, that's great. It sounds, like I said, really exciting that you're able to sort of focus on a very big picture issue like that and sort of helping people find meaningful and good paying work. That's a great thing to be engaged in. And so the next to last question I'd like to ask you is one that we ask everyone that we interview for the Leading Learning Podcast. And that's just about your own approach to your lifelong learning. What do you do to sort of help yourself stay top of your game in terms of learning?
Yeah. And I know most people that you interview say they carve out a specific amount of time each day to read or blogs, books, white papers, those kind of things. And I do those things and find them successful. But as I mentioned earlier, I really learn from interacting with others. I thoroughly enjoy picking up the phone or sitting down and having those face-to-face conversations with someone that has already experienced what I'm getting ready to go through, and to learn from their, like I said before, their good, bad, and ugly, what experiences that they really thought really, really well, and things that they learned from, and they would, glean some advice for me. I also enjoy attending conferences and being allowed to reflect and kind of ask questions and then create some action items going forward. I'm not saying this just because this is a Leading Learning Podcast, but I've really enjoyed my time at your events and to course events and kind of being surrounded by like-minded people, where you can bounce off ideas and they don't give you a furrowed brow. They say, oh yeah, I'm going through that too. Let's learn from each other. And that's really what I've enjoyed. Kind of, I guess, maybe surrounding myself with people that are smarter than me helps me be smarter. So that's kind of true learning and education for me happen when you become a willing and active participant. And that's kind of how I pursue it.
Well, amen. I think that peer learning just is always can be so richly rewarding just because you do have that ability to talk and learn from others who are going through or have gone through very similar experiences.
Right.
So last question for you, just if listeners would like to know more, where would you have them go?
They can go to our website at nwfa.org, and then there's an NWFA University tab they can click on to get more information about our programs. Or they can email me at my email. It's Stephanie with a PH @nwfa.org. I'd be happy to talk to people again, share my good, bad, and ugly, and what we've learned through the process.
Well, great. Thank you so much for taking time to share today, Stephanie. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That wraps up our interview with Stephanie Owen. As we're exiting, we want to say thanks again to Castle, a full-service certification and licensure testing company that also offers its clients a variety of learning solutions capabilities. You can find out more about Castle's custom learning solutions at leadinglearning.com/castle. And we also want to mention again that recordings from Learning Technology Design, or LTD, our virtual conference specifically for professionals in the business of continuing education and professional development, are now available. You can get all the details and sign up for those at ltd.leadinglearning.com.
To get show notes for this episode, go to leadinglearning.com/episode81. And while you're there, you will see the various options for subscribing to the podcast. And if you're getting value out of what you hear, we'd be truly grateful if you would subscribe.
We would also be truly grateful if you'd take a minute, just a minute, to give us a rating and review on iTunes. You can get right to where you need to go by going to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. And of course, we like to know that you're getting value out of the podcast. And when you put a review there, it makes it much easier for others to find Leading Learning if they're searching for high-value content about the business of lifelong learning.
We also hope that you will consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet by going to leadinglearning.com/share. Or if tweeting isn't your thing, you can pick another social network of your preference and spread the good word that way.
So thanks again, and we'll see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.